let us try to become a little bit more quantitative. In chapter 3, we derived formalism describing the value of options using a stochastic or a partial differential equation. These need now to be solved to calculate the value of an option before the expiry date. Here we will look into three different methods which allow you to solve these equations. First, an analytical method giving a formula, the so-called Black-Scholes formula for the price of the most simple options, then finite differencing and Monte Carlo method which allow you to deal with a little bit more general options, but then using a computer. Note that none of these methods is perfectly ideal and works in all the cases. All three have limitations, and it is therefore useful for you to know about all of them, to be able to compare them among each other and use them in the parameter regimes that are well suited. In fact, in the next chapter, we will add a fourth method, the finite element method, which can also be used for the European options. First, the analytical method. If you realize that the underlying share in the Black-Scholes equation has a log-normal distribution, it is a good idea to transform the Black-Scholes equation into so-called log-normal variables using a transformation where you involve an exponential and where you transform the negative time or the time running backwards into a time, a normalized time, which then runs forward. If you do so, you transform your Black-Scholes equation into a dimensionless equation depending only on two parameters. It is then quite easy to add an additional scaling so as to obtain finally a very simple normalized diffusion equation, which is in fact the same equation as the heat equation, very well known in engineering sciences. This equation can then be solved imposing the boundary conditions here for the share, normalized share values at minus infinity and plus infinity, and initial conditions which have to be imposed when the time is equal to zero. All these need to be imposed using non-arbitrage arguments or the terminal payoff, which is known in the financial variables. So you have to do the transformation from the financial variable into the log-normal variables to impose the initial and the boundary conditions. If you do so, you may now be able to solve explicitly for the value of an option using standard techniques. Those participants who are familiar with these techniques will certainly have heard of the Fourier-Laplace transform. Others will simply want to take the solution that is calculated, plug it into the normalized diffusion equation, and verify that it indeed is a solution of this equation. So how can you derive the solution using the Laplace transform? First, integrate in time using the condition to impose the causality. This first Laplace transformation gets rid of the time derivative, and you have to substitute an initial condition, which is here assumed to be a Dirac function, to perform the integral. To then get rid of the spatial derivative, you can introduce a Fourier transformation, which allows you directly to calculate an explicit solution in the Fourier Laplace space. This explicit solution has a pole in the complex plane, which needs to be taken into account when you invert the Laplace transform back in a causal manner. So to calculate this Laplace integral, you can in fact use a contour integral where you close the contour in the lower half plane where the phase factor decays exponentially. If you do so, you can then replace this contour integral with the residue theorem and calculate the residue which stems from this pole in the complex plane. Having done so, you can also invert the Fourier transformation, and using a standard formula, you will obtain an explicit solution for the initial condition we took as a Dirac function, which becomes, in fact, a Gaussian, which spreads out with time, as stated in the syllabus. If you now know the spreading of a Dirac function as a function of time, you could superpose an infinite amount of Dirac functions to describe any initial condition you like. If you calculate this convolution between the initial condition and the Dirac function, you can then describe a general solution for the Black-Scholes equation in the log normal variables, and transforming back into the financial world, obtain an explicit solution in financial variables. This gives you the price of an option as a function of the underlying, where you simply have to calculate an integral depending on values which you know all explicitly. In the case of the simplest vanilla call and put option, in fact you can calculate this integral analytically and obtain an explicit solution in terms of the cumulative normal distribution, which is in fact related to the error function, which is usually available in software you're using, for example, in MATLAB. So after transformation to financial variables, you obtain the Black and Scholes formula describing the price of a put and a call option in terms of this cumulative normal distribution, which you can now use to calculate the price of options explicitly. This is all very nice and useful, but in general, you will not be able to calculate this integral, and also if you change the Black and Scholes equation and generalize it for slightly different dynamics, you will generally not be able to calculate the equivalent analytical solution. And therefore, people usually decide to solve the Black and Scholes equation using the computer.